There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mundial. In the second part of the show, this is podcast number 494, April 7th, 2011. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by the donation button. Yes, the donation button on the front page of F1Weekly.com. Click on it, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, HRT says no problemo qualifying in Malaysia. The tone for the 2011 season will be set this weekend in Sepang, I believe. And, of course, Quick Nick must out-qualify his teammate this weekend or suffer the consequences on this program. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid and special repeat interview, Pastor Maldonado. And, of course, we have our donation thank yous to Ernest Karenjeff from St. Louis, Missouri. We have Gary Mabe from beautiful Corona, California. And our friend and favorite, Miguel Techedero from Portugal. Thanks, gentlemen.
Mr. LinkedIn himself.
Exactly. The professor. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Just great. You know, we got another race this weekend, a real track. I mean, I like Australia, but now we're going to see what's really going to happen when the mailbox opens and the KERS buttons.
Well, especially at this track.
Yes.
Where, do we get both straights at this track with the DRS?
Yes.
Because that'll be sweet. Because this track has the two longest straights in the entire year.
Yeah. So we're going to see some definite high speeds. It's going to be out of control, and hopefully some overtaking.
Yeah, it should be fun.
It's going to be fantastic, and of course everybody on the HRT team is hoping that their mailbox is open all the time.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're going to qualify. Yeah, be in qualifying. Whether or not they actually make it out of qualifying is another question.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I guess Australia was more testing than anything else for them. And very little at that. Since you don't qualify, you can't even use the race as a development program.
Yeah, and not only that, but you could... Sepang is one of those tracks where a team like Red Bull could really throw down some good laps.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm predicting that they're not going to make it.
They're going to be on the bench again this
week. Yeah, 107% of a Red Bull good lap is still a good lap.
It's still, exactly. Still has to be a pretty good lap.
Yeah. So, I mean, I even see Virgin possibly struggling to match some of this.
Yeah, that could be an issue because we know or can be pretty sure that Red Bull is probably going to be a little bit better than they were in Australia. And everybody else is going to be up just maybe a tick. As we typically are in the second race of the year, because everybody's had a week or 2 weeks to, you know, kind of go, oh, that was working pretty good. What if we just do this and get that, you know, that extra tenth out of a tweak? So should be interesting to see.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because, of course, Ferrari, they were so disappointed with fourth place for Fernando Alonso behind Vitaly Petrov in third that they've got to come up with something exciting. I mean, they've got to come up with some great lap times, dependable curves, which they seem to have.
I know one guy in Maranello who doesn't want them any faster. The TV salesman.
That's true. TVs will be a hot item around Maranello. But still, I know Ferrari has got to put it together, and Felipe Massa has got to help and be right behind Fernando.
He definitely needs to be further up the field. He can't be, you know, four or five cars back, because it doesn't do Fernando any good.
Yeah. No, and it doesn't do the team any good. Obviously, McLaren were so competitive that I was extremely shocked.
Yeah, and I was actually surprised that Mark Webber didn't do better.
Well, I think Mark Webber is going to put it together this weekend, because he has to. He's got to, you know, he's got to compete or out-qualify his teammate.
Well, he needs to catch up, because otherwise he will be the number two, whether he likes it or not.
That's true. And number twos don't usually like it, but they usually swallow and shut up.
Yeah, they typically get a really good paycheck either way. So
that's pretty true.
And they are getting to drive a Formula One race car. You know, paid well and driving a Formula One car. Hey!
And, of course, the story for me is Nick Heidfeld.
It's definitely going
to
happen.
I don't want to hear about incidents. He needs to qualify in Q3, and he needs to do one better over Petrov.
Yeah, he's got to be as good, if not better. He can't have another weekend like he did in Australia, where he was kind of like going, oh, what do you know? There are other cars in the track. Ah!
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be the experienced one, the obvious choice to replace Robert Kubica, and I'm going to keep an open mind. You will hear no Nick Heidfeld bashing from me. On the other hand, that will be praise. He is driving for Renault. This is my team, and I want him to do well. I want both of them to be on the podium if possible. The car looks pretty good.
Well, if Vitaly can put it on the podium, car's got to be pretty good.
Exactly. Now, of
course, Vitaly's a hell of a lot better than we thought he was.
Yeah, I'm not going to even open that can of worms. But still, now we're going to a real Grand Prix track with some long straights. And I think this is really, for me, the beginning of the season. And we'll see what really happens. We'll see if McLaren is as good as they are. And I'm afraid they could be.
Yeah, well, this becomes this is more of a high-speed track. Even though the average speed at Albert Park is pretty high. But this track definitely has some more top end, because you've got the two really long straights. And so it should be interesting.
Yes. Yes, it will be. Ferrari says they won't have any big updates. We know we have to improve our performance level, but we are equally aware that in the end, the race result was not such a disaster, Alonso speaking to his people. He says we will have a few minor updates on the car, but nothing very significant. The sort of thing you could say would be the key to take a leap forward in performance terms. And blah, blah, a lot of blah, blah.
Yeah. What do you think of Pirelli saying that they were actually going to give the teams an extra set of tires to try?
Well, Pirelli is still tinkering with this compound.
Yeah, fine. I like that.
I like that too. But I hate to say this, but the weather says rain.
Yeah, so this should be really interesting, because now we get to see the Pirelli wets. And see
exactly.
How, well, they hold up.
Exactly. I looked at the weather station reports, and apparently it looks like thunderstorms on Saturday and Sunday. Now, of course, in Malaysia, you could have rain 1 hour, and all of a sudden the sun breaks out the next.
Was it last year or the year before that it basically got rained out because a thunderstorm showed up, and it was dropping like 4 inches a minute?
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's like instant river.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but if it's rainy, it's definitely going to be a very interesting race. And, you know, we don't know anything about the wets, intermediates or full.
No, and that will be interesting. It'll be fun. Hopefully they'll get a chance to try them out in practice. They'll get a little bit of rain during at least one of the practice sessions to get out on track and see how well they hold up. I'm actually curious to see how well the intermediates are going to hold up, because that was always kind of one of those issues with the Bridgestones, that if the track was, you know, in between, those tires would go off really quick.
That's true. Now, on the other hand, this is our first warm race. Compared to Australia, it's going to, literally, if it's not raining, it's going to be hot. And they're talking 4, possibly 5 pit stops because of the high tire degradation, because of the hot tarmac.
Because the tires will be a lot warmer.
Yes, so it's going to be fascinating. And I'm certainly hoping that Nick Heidfeld And you know what? To be honest with you, I'm hoping HRT does qualify.
Yeah,
I want everybody to be successful. Exactly.
I don't want to see a team not make it.
Absolutely.
That's just, you know, you're in this sport to race, you know, and if you can't, and I like the 107% rule because, hey, if you can't stay at least that close, you don't deserve to be on the track anyway.
No, because then it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
You're basically a rolling chicane.
No, absolutely. And Williams and Rubinho will certainly be looking to improve because their car looks pretty quick. And, of course, the other team that I expected, and I, you know,
was a complete failure in Australia, really.
You mean Mercedes Grand Prix?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, both DNFs. Now, of course, Schumacher pulled in the garage for safety reasons because of some damage to the floor. And our friend Nico Rosberg got tagged by...
You're it. Off the track.
By our friend, the two-legged Rubinho. So, there's a lot of makeup that needs to happen here. We know Mercedes Grand Prix is going to be a lot better than we have seen so far. I can't imagine them being languishing mid-pack. With Ross Brawn on the team, Schumacher, Rosberg, Mercedes-Benz owned.
Yeah, it would be really weird to see them not at least get into the mix this weekend.
And, of course, a little bit of heat between Alguersuari and Buemi. And we'll see who lasts the longest.
Exactly, who's going to survive the longest.
Because
that's
Ricciardo,
one of those things I really don't like about Toro Rosso. Is the way they play the drivers off each other and then basically really
pressure.
Throw the whip down at them. It's like, come on.
I know, but this is Formula One, the pinnacle, Steven.
Yeah.
You either perform or you're out.
Well, if you were giving them a car that could put them a little closer to the front of the spear, then yeah, maybe.
But the car is probably not that bad, depending on who's driving it.
Yeah.
Let's give the car to somebody else, like Fernando or Sebastian Vettel.
Let's see how well it goes.
Yeah, so I think... I know, that's the way they run over there, so we'll see what happens. But I think Buemi is going to outdo Alguersuari and Ricciardo will be in later on in the season.
Probably, unless they can both keep up. You know, if they start swapping quality positions, then, you know, they may axe them both before the end of the season and throw somebody else in there.
Timo Glock for Virgin, he was ranting and raving in Australia, how they've taken a few steps backwards. And like I said earlier, he has doubts whether they will be able to qualify at some of these high-speed tracks. So there are so many questions this weekend that I cannot wait.
And if I'm the team principal at Virgin, I'm going, can you keep those comments indoors?
But that's just the way it is, Steven.
Well, not only that, but see, that's not good for if they need, you know, if they've got some potential sponsorship deals on the table.
Well, that's the
comments
biggest
like that are going to be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, well, an HRT is facing that big time. If you can't even get the qualifying, these sponsors are going, I'm done here.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it comes down to it's like, let me see, pay for sponsorship to sit in front of 5,000 instead of 50,000. Yeah, I don't think so.
Exactly, Colin Cole says the expectations for Malaysia are to get back to normality. We know that the car has potential, and we hope that we will be able to get all updates on the car. The 107% rule should not be an issue under normal circumstances. Well,
I don't know. After last year, it might be, dude.
Yeah, but you know, at least he's saying the right things for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Some news out of Russia. The Russian circuit, which his first race will be in 2014, says it's well on track. Dmitry Chernyshenko, president of the Sochi Organizing Committee, says it was decided that the IOC will review the final feasibility study of the forthcoming executive project review in May, and they will see the real construction design document to realize the overlapping with the Olympic infrastructure, and that's their big issue, is the Olympics are in 2014
yeah.
as well. So it's going to be one busy hive of happy bees over there.
There's going to be a lot of happy construction workers, that's for sure.
That's true. He says it's a great project in terms of creating the additional legacy and to fulfill the Olympic Park with the post-game activities. So they're pumped up over there with everything, and I'm quite happy for them. Of course, I'm sure, Stephen, you were all excited about Kimi Raikkonen and his Toyota truck.
No, I was all excited about, you know, the USF, the United States Grand Prix officials going, we're on schedule.
Yeah, well, you know, that we know that's going to happen there in Texas.
Exactly.
I mean, their trucks are like 16 times bigger than everybody else's.
Exactly.
They move dirt so fast, it's just ridiculous.
Interesting to see if you get a good shot of Google Earth. Supposedly you can see the layout of the track now.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be happening very, very soon. But anyway, Kimi Raikkonen enjoyed his first NASCAR experience testing for Kyle Busch Motorsports for the first time. He says that it was a lot of fun. I really had no expectations or anything to compare to beforehand, but at the end of the day, I'm really looking forward to the first race. It seems like KBM is a top team, and I'm excited to work with them.
I thought he was racing for ICE.
No, he Raikkonen's ICE1 Racing. That's his team.
Okay.
In rallying. The Finn competed over 400 laps at the half mile Gresham Motorsports Park Oval, which I believe is a half mile oval.
Half mile oval?
Half mile.
Hoop turn.
So that way, you know, what's good about it, and I've read this and it's not original for me, but he can just keep the steering wheel cocked to the left and have an ice cream. This is all planned, Stephen.
Or a very cold bottle of Finlandia.
Whatever is illegal. In
hey, that it's the South.
It is the South. Jean Todt, our FIA president, the dude, as I call him, he's looking to renegotiate the governing body's deal with Formula One bosses. I love this stuff, which means I guess they want a bigger chunk. You know, there's a lot of fees involved, you know, with the FIA and all their formulas and stuff.
And the bureaucracy that they have to
keep without fed. Bureaucracy, there's no jobs.
They got to keep the bureaucracy fed.
Yeah, so Todd...
Maybe can actually get that F1 chairman that Bernie was talking about.
He says he's going to make sure that the FIA gets a fair deal since times have changed since the last brokered Concord agreement under Herr Mosley.
Where he was probably getting the biggest check.
Exactly. Technology has changed, Todd says. Evolution has a price. I must make sure that the funding for the FIA is correct. In other words, no pretext.
In other words, I need a raise.
I love that stuff. You got to dig it. And speaking of the FIA, and this is completely out of control, but...
Is this the electric cars?
It's coming, Steven.
Yeah, I knew it was going to come sooner or later.
It's the FIA is set to work together with the European Commission on creating a new racing series for electric cars in an effort to raise public awareness of new technology vehicles. Jean Todt has set up an electric car commission. There's some more bureaucracy, Stephen.
Exactly. Hey, that's why F1's got to pony up some more cash.
Yeah, the electric car commission is not going to be cheap. It's not ran on solar panels, Stephen.
No, everyone on that commission probably needs their own electric car, you know, so they can understand the technology.
Exactly, and of course, this will be headed by former BMW director Burkhard Gosu, which will look into electric car, go-kart, and single-seater categories. He says, we want as soon as possible to have new categories with new energy. As much as we can do it all over the world, we will do it.
Man, that sounds like a good little niche for a company like Tesla to get into and you know, just put together something to sell those guys.
It's a good idea, but there are, you know, a lot of car companies have that specific technology. Tesla mass produces it a lot better than anybody else.
Well, they've got the...
And it's very pricey. I mean, you know,
well,
six figures.
One of the best... Well, it's because they've got one of the best battery systems.
Exactly.
Energy control systems.
Exactly.
Of any of the electrics.
So, you know, we knew the electric thing was coming. It was inevitable.
Yes, you missed the line about including a formula similar to Formula One.
Yes, I know. That looks like Formula One. Give me a break. What are they going
to
do?
You might be able to get companies like Ford and Honda Ford, Honda, and Toyota to come back into that formula.
I can't imagine that. I mean, I don't even want to think about it, Steven. I really don't.
It'll be Formula One E.
Yeah, exactly. Sebastian Vettel, he was interviewed, and apparently he was asked about picking his, you know, ideal teammate from the past of great drivers.
What are these? Where do they come up with these questions?
Well, you know, that's what happens in between races. You got to do stuff. And
Giancarlo,
well, I was impressed with his choice.
Giancarlo Fisichella?
No, yeah. Fisico, bravo.
Or maybe, hey, I want Rubinho as my teammate.
Well, no, because, you know, and I think I'm glad that Sebastian Vettel had something prepared instead of saying, you know, a lot of people with Germans would think he would say Schumacher or something cliche like that. But he didn't. He picked a good one. He says Jochen Rindt very clearly. For me, he had something that was very inspiring. He was a cool guy, and it would be an honor to race against him in the same team. And that way, you could get all the secrets of his exceptional personality. And, of course, it would be a big challenge. And, of course, he was world champion posthumously.
Yeah.
After, and of course, Le Mans winner, Jochen Rindt. Great, great character. And I'm proud of Sebastian Vettel to choose a fine world champion.
Yes. And someone who can't be questioned about his being the choice.
That's true. That's very good. Interesting news from the Autodromo José Carlos Pachi from Brazil. Okay. Uh-huh. And of course, we have our race there November 27th.
Which is like way too late in the season. It's way really too late in the year.
It'll be snowing.
Well, no, it's the height of summer in Brazil.
Yeah, well, I'm just kidding, Stephen. It'll be snowing in my front yard.
Exactly. It'll be snowing here in California.
But the FIA has been asked for some safety advice after a stock car driver died at Interlagos last Sunday. Gustavo Sonderman was killed when he crashed into the barriers at turn 14 of Autodromo José Carlos Pachi and bounced back into oncoming traffic. And we remember this happened to Fernando Alonso when he was driving for Renault in 2003 after he collided with Mark Webber. It was very scary. And last year, in 2007, another gentleman died in that same area. So they've asked the FIA to send an inspector to the racetrack, which is a good idea, because they haven't been able to find a solution to that corner. And I think that's a great idea. If there's a problem.
Which one is turn 14? Is that the one at the top of the hill before you come down to the home straight?
Correct. I believe so.
Wow. That's a tough one because there's really no place to put in, you know, there's no real runoff there anyway. And it's kind of one of those slight corners. You know,
and there's tire barriers there, and yeah, you know, there, maybe they'll go with some of those foam barriers they use at Indy or something.
Yeah, go to the two stage wall.
Exactly, and I'm sure Nasser will have some comments on that in Motorsports Mundial. But anyway, I cannot wait to watch practice. Of course, this particular race is going to be brutal for us here on the Pacific.
Dead middle of the night.
Yeah, I mean, the race is at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is pretty tough. I'm going to take a little nap.
Yeah, I'll typically do what I do is tape it, but
I have to watch it live because I'm excited. I'm pumped up.
Well, that because you will only watch the BBC feed now.
That's true, but
and you have to have that on. So.
Yeah. So no,
gotta it's be good. Awake for that one.
I know. That's going to be rough, but it's going to be an exciting race.
And we're going to do that 2 weeks in a row, too.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Any predictions, Stephen? Come on, don't tell me Red Bull. If you say Red Bull, I'm leaving. I'm walking out.
You know, let's twist it up. Let's put Nick Heidfeld.
No.
On pole.
No, Nick Heidfeld is not going to get pole, but I think Lewis Hamilton has a good chance to get pole if the McLaren steps it up a little bit. And maybe. And Vettel has problems with Kurs. The button breaks off or something.
Yeah, but you remember what happened last year with McLaren at Sepang?
Mm.
Where neither of them could like keep the car on the track through Q1.
That's true.
You know, so that makes me a little nervous about them. You know, hey, Vitaly, the way he's going, but he didn't qualify necessarily that well. But
or it could be Schumacher.
Hammer. Or Rosberg, even, if they could get the car together and get the bugs worked out.
I agree.
But, it's kind of the way things have been. It's pretty much Sebastian Vettel's pole to lose.
I agree. But I think Mercedes will have some upgrades that will be minor, but still.
Well, hopefully they get a car that will stay together and,
And Rubinho will stay out of the way.
Yeah, and not.
And Buemi will stop hitting Schumacher.
Exactly, not get speared by another car on the track.
Exactly. So, no, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So stay tuned for Motorsports Mundial and, of course, our interview with Pastor Maldonado from Williams Formula One team. We'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mundial and the guru, the Swami, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Lorenzo in the league, Tracy in with the dragon. Plus action from Brands Hatch, Paul Ricard, and we will round up with Raikkonen and round it down at Martinsville. What could be better than that, Mr. Rogers?
He's in a Toyota. That's all
exactly.
I know.
Exactly. So grab your hot dog and drop that remote, por favor. We shall start with MotoGP. Did anybody see any of the action?
I watched some of it.
Cool. Mr. Fobb?
No, I rarely get this. I rarely watch
MotoGP.
He was watching
baseball, baby.
Bush series.
Okay, that's good. Dramatic round two in Jerez de la Frontera. Slippery when wet. The race was like the Monaco Grand Prix of 1982, the Monaco Formula One. Many leaders who could have and should have won, but when it was all over, it was same as last year. Casey Stoner started from pole position but was running in second when the doctor passed him on his Ducati. I'm not even sure if that was a pass. It was more like a missed his breaking point. Lost control and crashed, taking Stoner with him. According to Stoner, that's not what he was really pissed off. What happened after that really got to him. Rossi was able to get going with help from marshals, but Casey had to retire and was not a happy camper, complaining of lack of help for him, and he's claiming that it has also happened in the past that Rossi gets VIP treatment from marshals. So FIM, Federation of International Motorcycling, they're going to look into it, see if they are discriminating against boys from land down under. Marco Simoncelli, who I think is the lookalike for Father Guido Sarducci, he was on a private Gresini Honda, looks set for his first MotoGP victory, which would have been the first for Gresini since Portugal 2006, when Tony Elias beat Rossi to the finish line at Estoril. That was pretty interesting. That was one of the few times Rossi got a taste of his own medicine. He was leading on the last turn, and in a run-up to the finish line, just by half an inch, maybe less, Tony pipped him to the checkered flag. This put last year's winner Jorge Lorenzo in the lead with his teammate Ben Spies, who was from Tejas, second after passing Danny Pedrosa. Ben is getting very close to a win this year, which would be good for him. The Yamaha 1-2 went kaput when Spies also crashed with only 3 laps remaining. So it was Lorenzo, or as Rossi calls him, Jorge Lorenzo. He was the winner. Second was Pedrosa for Honda, and Nicky Hayden was third on his Ducati. Rossi was fifth. Now, remember last year after winning the race, Lorenzo had jumped into the infield lake, and then he had a problem getting out because the suit absorbed so much water. This time, he more like slipped into the lake. I was watching him before he could jump. He slipped and is now leading the championship. From Jerez, we go to Le Castellet, a little north of the border. Paul Ricard circuit. It's very, very nice to see motor racing back at Paul Ricard. For the opening round of the Le Mans series, welcome back win for Pescarola team. Winning combination was Julien Jus, Tinso, and Emmanuel Collard. Nicola Prost and Neil Gianni were seventh in their Rebellion Lola Toyota. And I heard the other day, I'm not sure if you mentioned last time, Nicola Prost has also joined the Gravity Driver Development Program. I think there was some parental influence here. What do you think?
It's possible.
Yeah. And which, of course, means Jenny Capital, which means Renault Formula One team. Fisico, our good friend Giancarlo Fisichella, was 15th in his Ferrari.
Bravo, bravo.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's asking people at Ferrari, where is the winning car?
Good. Well, maybe he's talking to Ralf Schumacher, you know.
Well, once upon a time they were teammates, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
F3 Euro Series, they also opened the season at Paul Ricca. There are only like 10 or 12 cars in this series, but it's good they have some good drivers in three races per weekend. Which is the same format as the British F3 now. And the winners were, race one, Nigel Melker of the Netherlands. He was given a penalty, and I was trying to get some information on ItaliaRacing.net, and I couldn't get the... There was some lost in translation case. Apparently, he misbehaved, or there was some problem on the track, so he was given a penalty. Race two winner was Roberto Meri of Spain, and final race of the weekend was won by Daniel Juncadea, also from Spain, and he has raced here in the U.S. in Formula BMW Series. I met him last year, pretty nice kid, cool kid, I like him. Now we keep moving north and go to beautiful Green Hills of Kent and the Brands Hatch Circuit, the very first racing track I saw in my life in September 1982. It was so exciting, and it has a really, really soft spot in my heart, even though Formula One doesn't go there. But it's a beautiful, you know, if you just picture Laguna Seca in Lime Rock, Connecticut, lush green, that's how Brands Hatch is, a little bit bigger in terms of longer in length. Okay, so what was happening there was the British Touring Car Championship and Formula Renault UK. Big payday for Jason Plato. He won the first two races of the weekend in his Chevrolet Cruze. Is this Cruze called Cobalt in the U.S.? Because I just
no,
saw...
No, it's also Cruze in the U.S.
Because I just saw one of your neighbors probably, I think, bought a brand new Cruze.
Probably. It's yeah. A very reasonably priced car. From all the reports, it's a really good value. It's a really nice car. You know, good gas mileage.
Very nice power. Looking, too. Very nice looking, yeah. And he now has, he being Jason Plato, not Steve Farb, more wins in British Touring Car Championship than any other driver, 62, which is very impressive. So congratulations and cheers to Mr. Plato. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Matt Neal in his Honda. Formula Renault UK, it was Alex in Wonderland. Alex Lynn led both races of the season. Of the season opener from start to finish, so pretty dominating performance there. Lynn leads the championship with 66 points, and in sixth place is Josh Hill. His Papito used to be a world champion, and Grand Papito was world champion two times. So, if I remember correctly, I think this kid also has the same London drawing colors on his helmet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, Damon Hill used to work as, at one time, a bike messenger. And if I ever do an interview with him, I'm going to ask him if there was ever an executive secretary who got a bit pissed off because her parcel came in late because of Damon Hill.
It's all the package.
Exactly. It's all of the package. Kimi in a Tundra. Oh, this is classic. This is what I call le super sophistication. When tip-top bar in Monte Carlo is not enough, when shaking hands with the royalty of Monaco is not enough, you come to Gresham Park.
Gresham Park, it's pretty exciting there.
Oh, absolutely. Iceman, soon to be Hot Dog Man, has enjoyed his test in Toyota Tundra of Kyle Busch Motorsports at half-mile Gresham Motorsports Park Oval. He will make his Camping Series World Truck debut on May 20th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Now, this I am not making up. His sponsor, and you can go to autosport.com and verify, his sponsor is Perky Jerky.
Exactly.
Fantastic. I'd like to see...
It's like jerky infused with caffeine or something?
Exactly. Yeah.
And they have the perfect spokesman.
It's like Redneck Red Bull.
You know, really? Redneck Red Bull? I mean, Kimi is the perfect sponsor. He's, all he has to do is say, it's so good, I don't have to say anything.
Dude, they'll be selling this in Finland by the bucketfuls.
Oh, cool. You know, I'd like to see Skull Bandit sponsor Montoya.
Actually, you know who I'd like to see sponsor Montoya is, there's a new product out called Grinds. And it's basically little packets of coffee grounds to try to get people weaned off of tobacco.
Oh, wow.
They chew the grinds?
No, it's you know, like Skull Bandits come in the little pouch.
I don't know, Steven. I am not.
It's the same kind of thing. They're basically,
to the baseball world.
It's a little, they're in a little pouch.
That's so beautiful. Maybe F1 Weekly needs a couple little pouches.
Really?
Yeah. I'll give this.
Desiree already has a few.
Well, the good thing about coffee grinds, you could swallow. You don't have to worry about spitting out like you do with tobacco.
But, you know, there's also, again, going back to Autosport.com, there was an interview with Kyle Busch, and they asked him, how did this deal come together? And he said, agents. His agent contacted his agent, and apparently there's some, maybe it's Perky Jerky, that wants to get some promotion out of this deal. Yeah,
it's a good guy to pick up if you want to get, you know, get some press.
Absolutely.
Because, you know,
and this will be big press, especially in Europe.
Well, I mean, everywhere.
And stateside, too. You know, Speed TV will be on it because, ooh, it's a Formula One driver.
World champion.
Yeah.
The only problem is he doesn't interview very well.
Yeah. No, but like you said, you know.
Give him some Perky Jerky. Maybe he'll interview better.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Buddies at Benz, DC and his friend Ralf Schumacher will continue with Mercedes in DTM this season. So good for them. GP2 testing from Silverstone this week. Day one, it was Romain Grosjean who set the pace. And day two, it was Marcus Ericsson of Sweden. The final preseason test is later this month at Barcelona, and the season will begin in Turkey next month. So it should be interesting. On paper, Grosjean and Jules Bianchi look very strong as title favorites. Others to watch include your favorite Sam Bird, Ericsson, Marcus Ericsson, and our friend, our amigo from Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico, Esteban Gutierrez. I was watching on YouTube, somebody had posted the race 2, and Esteban was right behind Grosjean most of the time, and then later in the race, he made a pretty slick move, I think going into Alta Variante, and then Romain Kartashekin stayed ahead, kind of like button, so he was penalized. And yeah, I'd like to see Esteban get going and see how good he really is with Jules Bianchi and Mr. Romain Grosjean. Okay, British F3 boys were testing this week at Snetterton, which is not too far from Lotus Country, and Mr. Brazier was kind enough to take me there. So that was nice when I was there last time. Kevin Magnussen was quick in day one, and it will be interesting cage rattling between him and Felipe Nasr, who was from Brazil. I think this would be a very good match. Jack Harvey will be one of the rookies to watch, along with another of our friend, Harry Tinknell. We have quite a few friends now in serious level of motor racing, and we've been following some of these kids for 3 to 5 years. And I can, you know, today I got an email from my friend, Mr. Olivier Menu, just asking how I'm doing, everything is okay. And, you know, he is pretty much takes Jules Bianchi everywhere, so I sent him an email back, you know, hey, thank you for your concern. We look forward to Jules Bianchi. You know, he's in the Ferrari driver development program. Hopefully he will be in Formula One next year, and then we can do a one-on-one with a Formula One driver. And we've been talking to him for a few years now also.
Outside of the paddock.
Inside and outside both, yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, the F1 would be outside the paddock. And we would want outside the paddock so we can sit down, have some pasties, and talk motor racing. And actually, last year when I was at Abu Dhabi, I met his mom and dad also. And of course, his grandfather is Mauro Bianchi, brother of Lucien Bianchi. Okay. And talking of F1 Weekly Familia, it was great to see photos and video of Miguel and John in Monsanto Park, home of the Portuguese Grand Prix, many moons ago. That was nice, F1 Weekly Love Fest.
It was a loving gesture.
Yeah, and if anything, any of this happens again, either US or Canada, wherever, with F1 Weekly, we would like to hear that and get some photos.
Absolutely, that was really, really cool.
Yeah. And they even did that, click on it, you know you want to.
I know.
Yeah, cool.
You can't beat that.
Of course not. Well, all the zeros you pay for it, it has to be quality.
It is.
Alexander Rossi, young man from Northern California, has signed with Tony Fernandez's Team Lotus in their driver development program. This is good news for Alexander, who will be racing the following weekend at Aragon in the opening round of World Series by Renault. And Mr. Brazier and I will be there, so hopefully we'll do an interview with him and some of his competitors.
This is a fast-growing driver development program, I've noticed.
Fast-growing, yeah. It's widening every day. But what I heard is that the two of their GP2 drivers, they were given the carrot, if you sign with us, you become our test driver. The thing is, you know, there's so much limited testing.
Yeah, it's like test driver, title. It's not a lot of driving.
And they have two, three other drivers from Singapore, from Hong Kong, from Malaysia. But I'll tell you what would be very cool if they would pay for Alexander Rossi or whoever is doing well among in the jury, even junior formulae. If they would pay for their, you know, racing in GP2 or really help them, not just this lip service, you know. Like, you know, when it was announced, I was pretty impressed how quickly it happened. Tony Kanaan is going to drive for Gilles de Ferrand. I said, oh, wow, Brazilian brotherhood here. Next thing you know, ooh, we didn't get a sponsor, so sayonara. But there's always money involved in these deals, you know, always. Okay, where are we now? And, of course, Rossi's main competition will be Daniel Ricciardo. I'm a little disappointed that Daniel Ricciardo will not be at Aragon, not this weekend, the following weekend, because he has Formula 1 duties. This kid is good, very good. And, of course, there will be Jean-Eric Wynne and Robert Wickens. Robert Wickens is machismo too. Okay, some sad news to report. This was very sad. Brazilian driver Gustavo Sonderman was killed after a violent accident in a truck race at Interlagos over the weekend in the rain. His accident happened at the same place where Mark Webber crashed hard in his Jaguar, and then he was hit by Alonso also.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least the car.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier in the program.
Yeah, and then Sonderman's ex-teammate Spirafico was also killed at the same spot on the track a few years ago. And I just read that the track people, you know, they're going to ask. They had installed a safe barrier some other place. Did you cover all of this?
A little bit. We mentioned that the FIA was. They actually contacted the FIA for help.
And it is a that's the problem area with that track.
When
people die, you have to pay attention.
Yeah, and this is actually not just these two people. I read that some amateur motorcyclist was also killed this year. That's pretty sad. And David E. Davis, ex-editor of Car and Driver magazine, he was also associated with Automobile magazine and Winding Road, which I think believe is a web magazine only, web e-magazine, I should say. He passed away at the age of 80, and of course, very well-known gentleman in the world of automotive journalism. Shall we talk a little bit about Malaysian Grand Prix?
Oh, I'm pumped up.
You are?
Yeah.
Did you get your coconut juice going?
Everything's ready.
Cool. You know, this country is one of the largest producer of rubber. Very big. That's where they made their first money.
I think Michelin gets a lot of that rubber.
Yeah. Michelin, Malaysia, they go together. Oil. Okay. Yeah, and they have a lot of oil also. A Malaysian Grand Prix this weekend at Sepang Circuit. First of the Herman Tilke. That was the first one, if I recall.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was so beautiful when it first came out. It's still very nice, the track. Nice, fast corners. A track located not too far from KL Airport, KL, of course, being Kuala Lumpur. Inaugural event in 1999, this is interesting, was won by Eddie Irvine with help from his teammate Michael Schumacher, who was returning in style from his leg injury and started the race from pole before gifting the race to Eddie. And I read that when he got the pole, he was over a second faster than the McLaren boys who were fighting for the championship, at least Hakkinen. Now, this is very important. Ferrari team, they did not have to send out a message to Michael saying, Eddie is faster than you, because nobody was going to believe that. Can you imagine ever get... Michael, Eddie is faster than you.
It would have been beautiful.
It would have been beautiful because then we could have used that one here, you know, last year.
That only works for Felipe.
Yeah. Yeah, that was classic. Schumacher won the next two Malaysian Grand Prix. Then it was his brother's turn to win in 2002 with Williams BMW, also known as Williams BMW. That marriage did not last too long. It did not even go to the term of the contract. Okay, in 2003, this is very interesting. I remember this very well. Sepang was the scene of Nando's first career pole, but in the race, Raikkonen was faster than him and scored his first Formula One win. Then it was back to the full Schumacher in 2004, and in 2005, Nando was on top on his Renault. Giancarlo Fisichella would win the race in 2006 in his Renault. It was back to Nando. And this was one of my favorite wins. This race and the 2000 European Grand Prix. Fantastic. Real machismo. In 2007, Nando wins in a silver machine, which became a self-induced silver bullet coming his way. And we ain't talking Coors beer here, Mr. Boudreaux. 2008, Kimi in the Ferrari, 2009, Button in the Braun, and last year, Bastian, also known as Vettel, as the winner. Now, Malaysia was the race last year where he did a slick move on Mark Webber at the start, if I remember correctly.
Right, and it was also rain-shortened.
Last year? Or was it 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years ago?
I thought it was
Vettel's victory that was rain-shortened, but I could be
wrong. When we had the Kimi and the Klondike moment?
That was two years ago.
The Kimi and Klondike. That was, I swear, classic.
Yes. This is going to be an exciting race.
You think so?
Yeah, because we have a few things that have to, I think we'll be bubbling up to the top. I think Mercedes Grand Prix have to produce. They have to show. Ferrari has to be machismo.
Yeah.
Fernando needs to be on the front row. They have to qualify well. And of course, Nick Heidfeld has to prove to the F1 Weekly Palatial Studios and its staff that was just a one-off. And he's actually faster than Vitaly Petrov.
Uh-oh. That can spell trouble. Faster than whatever. But interesting, you know, I was looking on the weather thingy. Looks like it's going to rain.
Yes. Thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, good. And then there is also, every team is pumped up. They're going to be doing very good. So, we're going to have 6 cars on pole position or what? I think it's going to be all, you know, if it's not totally messed up by the rain, it's going to be business as usual.
Well, I think Ferrari and Mercedes need to step it up.
Yeah.
Well, especially since Mercedes had 2 DNFs in Australia. And for a team of that caliber, with that kind of money, with Ross Brawn at the helm, that's not acceptable.
You know, I was thinking the other day, I can't prove this. I just hope Mercedes is not doing what Honda and Toyota did. Try to run a team based in England, remote control from Stuttgart, you know? And I don't know
but I can't see Ross Brawn buying in, you know, basically selling his team to them to allow them to do that. That just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Especially
with his talent. It would be dumb of Mercedes to basically buy his team and then cut him out of the loop.
Mercedes has a huge presence in England. They own Brooklands.
The Ilmore Mercedes engine is built in England.
Exactly.
You know, Ilmore. But who knows, man? You know, big companies, you have big people, big egos, and they have bought most of the shares from Ross Brawn anyway. But I'm just speculating, and I just hope they're not doing this. I mean, you got to deal with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, but I think Schumacher would tell them that's not going to work.
Yeah.
He still has a lot of power, even though...
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's still Schumacher.
Yeah.
So any predictions from you?
I think if it's not result is not messed up by rain, it will be Sebastian Vettel, I think. I would like to see Hemi duke it out with him. But if it's rain, lots of rain, and Pirelli's saying they may have to stop 3 or 4 times. But if it's rain, then I would like to see Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel do a battle in the rain. Fernando is very good in the rain, but I think Sebastian Vettel and Hamilton are... very, very good in the rain.
What about Rubinho? He's good in the rain.
He is good, but... we saw when Sebastian won with Minardi. Minardi, right? Or whatever it's called, Toro Rosso. That was impressive. And do I need to remind you of the 2007 Japanese Grand Prix? That was quite a performance.
Well, I'll go back to the 2007 German Grand Prix.
Really?
Or was it the European Grand Prix?
No, Fernando won?
Yeah.
No, that was 2000 European. That was very, very... That day he won a race where he had no business winning, and that I like that kind of performance. And this is when Massa lost the school, and they were arguing in the press room.
Well, I'm just hoping Nick Heidfeld can do well.
What's up with Nick? Is it because of the Renault factor?
It's Renault. That's my team. See the hats, Nasser?
No love for Petrov?
Petrov? I love Petrov. But everybody's telling me to stop bashing Nick Heidfeld, so I'm saying he out-qualifies Petrov. I will personally deliver a basket of love to Nick Heidfeld and his entire family.
Well, I think it comes down to is Nick Heidfeld is replacing Robert Kubica.
Yes, Robert Kubica is not going to be happy if Nick doesn't perform.
Exactly. He wants to be able to come back in August and, you know, and jump into that seat and run for the championship.
And do you think the not the preseason but the in-season testing for HRT will continue during qualifying?
I don't think they'll make it to qualifying. I don't think they're going to make it. The 107% rule.
Especially when you can put a car like Sebastian Vettel's and use the DRS anywhere on the track.
Yeah, I think HRT will be out again. No race for them. But at least, you know, they could, you know, I don't know. It's got to be brutal for them. But they'll give it their best shot in Q1. We'll see what happens.
You know, last race, David Coulthard made a, which I thought was a pretty, I'm not saying right or wrong, but a very interesting observation. But Antonio Liuzzi is managed by Peter Collins, who used to run Lotus Team, or own Lotus Team one time. And of course, he goes back many years. If I remember correctly, it was him who helped Peter Windsor come to England from Australia and get involved in racing. Anyway, so he's his manager, and David Coulthard said that Peter Collins, with all that experience and motor racing savvy, should not have put Liuzzi in this seat because it's going nowhere. And I wonder how much money Naren Karthikeyan has paid. I would say at least $5 million.
At least.
Yeah. Well, there's also talk that Liuzzi took his severance package from Force India to buy that seat.
Well, I don't think that's possible because Force India are notoriously delinquent and pay their bills very, very late. Well, so I don't think
a promise of that money.
Oh yeah. The second half of the F1 or any racing series is all promises.
Promises.
Yeah. Promise or anything, you know.
Fantastic, Nas. Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, we will do the program one day early next week.
We
podcast
will?
496. Before you leave,
yes, sir,
for Motorland.
And because of professional commitment, Mr. Miguel, or as we call him, Dr. Miguel, will not be able to join us. So Mr. Brazier and I will shed a tear for him. But we will remember him when we're having our gazpacho in Aragon.
Good for you.
Yes,
I hope it's warm enough for gazpacho.
That's what I always thought, that this thing is warm. But you know, when I was there two years ago, and I had it for the first time, I was very surprised it was cold.
You mean the gazpacho?
Yeah.
Of course it's cold.
I didn't know
it's
that.
For warm weather.
Oh, okay. Would I know?
In Sevilla and Andalusia, it's very hot in the summer, like California.
Yeah.
So they have gazpacho to cool you down.
Yeah, okay, well.
And feed you. Anyway, thanks to you, Nas.
Gracias.
We will see you next week.
You will.
Enjoy the Malaysian Grand Prix.
I will.
We'll be back.
You too.
With the wrap-up.
Nasser, now you spoke to some GP2 drivers, and this specific one, Pastor Maldonado, who's doing quite well. Why don't you talk about this interview and how he's doing in his GP2 series?
Yes, Pastor Maldonado is a racing driver from Venezuela. He was born in March 1985. He is based in Italy and raced on the Italian karting scene before winning the 2004 Formula Renault Italy with 8 wins and 12 podium finishes from 17 races. In 2006, he was third in the World Series by Renault with 3 wins. And last year, he won the GP2 race in Monte Carlo and started the 2008 season with pole position in Barcelona, which is where this conversation took place last month. And he is, like most Venezuelan drivers, like Milka Duno, sponsored in part by PDVSA, the big national oil company from Venezuela. Nice guy, and we wish him all the best. And thank you, Mr. Senor Maldonado.
Pastor, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Okay, I'm here in Barcelona with the man who is on pole position for the opening race of GP2, Mr. Pastor Maldonado from Venezuela. How are you today, sir?
I feel very good today. I feel very optimistic for the race. We work it until the end of the night. The thing is strong. The strategy will be very good, I think so. We will see. The most important thing is the start now. I was thinking about the start, and after that, I think will be good for us.
For the championship, who do you think would be your main competitors all season long?
The season will be very difficult because it's very close. The level is very high this year, you know. The most important things during the season is the constant, you know. Because in the second race, we have to change the position, the first A position, you know. So to be in this first A position is very important for us. And to start a season like that for us is fantastic, you know. We now have 2 points in the front for the pole position. We start for the first race in first position, you know. The team is very happy for the other driver too, because he's in third position. We are working in a very good direction now. The car is very fast, it's very good. We developed the car in the winter test as soon as possible. And now we have a good package for the season.
I see you're with PK Sports. As Senor Nelson PK here?
Yes, he's here, but he's in the Formula One paddock.
Okay. How is he as a team owner? He's, you know, quite a character.
Yeah. No, but he's a very good person. A lot of experience, you know. His son is now in Renault. He's doing very well. Now we are here. We must demonstrate, you know, the power of the team.
Now, how popular is motor racing in Venezuela? You know, you guys produced a great motorcycle racer, Johnny Chicado, many years ago. How popular is motor racing in your country?
It's very popular. After baseball, the motorsport are the number two in Venezuela. We have the TV rights for the GP2, Formula One, and some other categories, you know. I think the people, the aficion, is very big in Venezuela, and I'm very happy for that, because it's one more support, you know, for us driver.
And how is the support? I mean, I see you have this PDVSA sticker, your oil company. Is the government or Venezuelan companies behind Venezuelan drivers?
Yes. We have a program in Venezuela with the oil company. It's one of the most important company in the world. We are 4 drivers in PDVSA racing team. It's very important for us, the support, you know, because the motorsport is very expensive for us. And to have that sponsor is very important. We have just government sponsors, as Ministry of Tourism, Ministry of the Sport. So many, many government sponsors. We have an airline from Venezuela. I think the package, all the package for this year is very complete, you know, to win the championship.
And if you win the championship, do you expect a call from Senor Chavez?
Yeah, maybe yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit, how is the infrastructure in terms of kart? Hey, I want to know a little bit about your karting career, and how is the facilities in Venezuela for karting and for progressing through the series for young drivers?
The karting in Venezuela is very hard. It's a very big championship, and I think it's one of the most important in South America. Many young guys start in karting there, and after, for sure, they need to go or in USA or in Europe, you know, to be a professional. I started when I was 7 years old in Gokar, always in Venezuela. I won many championships, and after I decided, together with my family, to come in Europe, in Italy especially, because there was the higher level in the go-karts. I won so many races in Italy, World Cups, European Cups, so I was very competitive. And after I completed the age, to pass to the Formula, you know, to the single-seater. After that, I did my first race in 2002 when I was 70 years old. I won my first race in Formula Renault 2 liter. So we saw the talent, you know, in that, and my family went in my back, you know, pushing. We were working very hard to find the sponsors, and we proposed the plan to PDVSA, and they accepted that, you know. And now it's from 4 years they support me in Europe. So my career was very, very difficult for us because I leave my country very young age, you know. My family, I was alone in Europe, in Italy especially. And now it's a very important time for me, you know, in my life as a person, as a professional, because our objective is Formula One until when I was very young, you know, and now we are very close, very, very close.
Where are you based these days?
There are things we need to weigh some races.
No, where do you live these days?
These days in Italy. Italy.
Now, what has been the biggest achievement for you so far in your racing career? Thing that you are really proud of?
Can you repeat, please?
What has been the race that made you most happy?
Monaco, for sure, last year. And 2 years ago in the World Series, I won Monaco. Last year, I won Monaco in GP2, in my third race of GP2. So I think it's the most difficult circuit, because the concentration have to be very, very, you know, high, and the mentally, physically preparation have to be very good, you know, a good level. And I demonstrated that I was very strong in that circuit.
What's the difference between a World Series by Renault car and a GP2 car?
It's not so different. The first different is the power. This car is most power. It's the engine is bigger. In this car, the grip is better, more downforce. The gearbox. I was quite surprised with the gearbox in this car because it's quite fast. It's very close to the Formula One. That's the main difference. But I've seen the both cars are very, very quick and are a very good school to go in the Formula One.
Now, you may be the best driver from Venezuela right now, but would you agree with me that the prettiest is Milka Duno?
Yeah, I know. I know her very well. She's one of my friends. She is part of the group in PDVSA Racing Team. So we are representation Venezuela in the world, you know. She is in USA and she is doing, I think, very well. She is one of the quickest women in motorsports, and I'm very happy for her and to have her in the group.
Yeah, we interviewed her last year, and she's also a very nice, easy person to deal with, which was good. Finally, how about a message for our listeners? And we have quite a few listeners in South America, so if you want to say something to Latin America in Spanish, please do so.
Okay, le digo a toda Latinoamérica que nos apoyen y que sigan creyendo en nosotros, que bueno, vamos subiendo, y el objetivo seguramente la Fórmula 1. Thank you.
Gracias.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
This week's forum updates from Dr. Mark Farrington. We thank him quite handsomely for that. The forum was surprisingly quiet last week, and probably because everyone was mourning the passing of great racing talent that is Nick Heidfeld, whose lackluster performance in the Melbourne richly deserved a few days' silence. For a couple days, there were even more posts about MotoGP than F1. However, a detailed post by Interraptor on Tuesday nicely explained how the damage to Nick's car slowed him during the race, and how his team were probably to blame for putting him out into traffic during quali. We should cut him some slack. Posting has really picked up now in advance of Malaysia, where we eagerly anticipate the possibility of a wet race and the chance to see how dominant the Red Bulls may be on different sort of track, with longer straights and a wider mix of corners. There have been threads welcoming Alexander Rossi's attachment to the Lotus non-Renault reports from those who have seen the Senna film, and commiserations for my dismal performance in the first round of the F1 Weekly Fantasy Racers Tournament, where my picks went tragically wrong. I particularly recommend the great thread with nice photos describing forum members Iceman and Miguel's recent visit to the Monsanto track in Portugal. Come and join us on the forum. All are welcome.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, I was just going to mention we are about to reach 100,000 posts on the forum, Stephen.
That's pretty, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and you can't blame the bots for that.
No, because bots don't post.
Well, they do once or twice, and then they're gone.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. Or they get deleted.
Huh.
Exactly. We have administrators that clean that up really fast.
Well, the bots do jump in there and put up ads for somebody else?
I don't know. You know, I don't even know how it works. But Google bots are pretty dominant. Anyway, quickly, San Francisco Formula One group, they're getting together again, this time at the karting track in Burlingame. Just go to sff1.com and check them out. Of course, they have a great time and watch the races. Red Lion Oil Karting Championship is set to kick off the 2011 season on April 10th, this weekend. After a long, wet, and cold winter, the 2011 Red Lion Oil Karting Championship will get underway on the national track configuration at the Jim Russell International Karting Center at Infineon Raceway, also known as Sears Point. With more classes, more Saturday practice, and expected larger Rotax fields, 2011 looks to be a return to large fields, great racing, and one of the West Coast's premier kart tracks. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Red Lion Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and like us. And of course, if you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcasts, email me at info@f1weekly.com. We'll see you this weekend for the post-race analysis. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.